Hello again, friends. This is Paul Scharf for Whitcomb Ministries. I'm here today with Dr. John Whitcomb in his basement study in his home in Indianapolis, and this is a very special recording. For some of you, the information is going to be brand new. For others of you, this is going to be something I think you're really going to be interested in. And forgive us if it's just a little bit more informal than some of our other presentations here on sermonaudio.com, but Dr. Whitcomb and I are here. Actually, we've been looking through some folders and looking at various papers that stretch back more than 50 years, because our purpose in this recording is to remember Alva J. McLean. For those of you who do not know Alva J. McLean, he was the founder of Grace Theological Seminary, where Dr. Whitcomb taught for 39 years. He was Dr. Whitcomb's theology professor and mentor. In fact, he's the reason Dr. Whitcomb went to Grace Seminary after graduating from Princeton after his service in World War II. His spiritual father, Dr. Donald Fullerton, recommended that he attend Grace Seminary largely because of Alva J. McLean's teaching ministry. Dr. Whitcomb later served as a teaching assistant and graded papers for Dr. McLean, and later actually taught his theology classes in his place. Just to sum up the life of Dr. Alva J. McLean, he was born in April 11, 1888 in Orillia, Iowa. He died in November of 1968, so at the age of 80, November 11th, 1968 in Waterloo, Iowa. His funeral was held in Winona Lake, Indiana, the home of Grace Seminary, in November of 1968, November 14. And there's some familiar names among the officiating clergy for the funeral, including Homer Kent, Dr. Herman Hoyt, and others. And Dr. Whitcomb, we're here. We have spread out before us some of these historical documents that detail Dr. McLean's ministry and teaching and your interaction with him through the years. And we're looking here at a paper you wrote in May of 1987, called God's Great Work at Grace Theological Seminary. And I'm just going to read one paragraph, which introduces us to the crowning achievement of Dr. McLean's life, which was the publication of the book, The Greatness of the Kingdom. And that's going to be part of our focus in this short recording also. We're remembering Dr. McLean, and we're remembering his book, which still is widely used and, Lord willing, still has a growing influence in our time. This document you wrote back 22 years ago or so, it says that one of the distinctives of Grace Seminary was an acceptance of God's covenant promises to the nation of Israel, and thus a recognition of distinctions as well as similarities between Israel and the church in history and eschatology. And you said Dr. McLean's widely acclaimed volume, The Greatness of the Kingdom, has proved a significant frame of reference for our senior theology courses on the kingdom and the church in biblical eschatology. I'm going to ask you to start out in this session by remembering and kind of summarizing for us the impact of the book, The Greatness of the Kingdom. It was first published in 1959, and then it was... We have here a newer version of it that came out from Moody Press in 1968, and that one was actually signed, Alva J. McLean, Romans 8:28, for you. I'd like you to talk about the impact of Dr. McLean's book as a starting point. We're going to get into his the man, McLean, in just a little bit. But for people who have no idea who he was or why he's important, let's talk about his book a little bit. The impact that you've seen as it's had in the church and in Christian education and theological advance in the last 52 years since it first came out. Excuse me, 50 years this year. It's 50th year. What have you seen in reference to the book, The Greatness of the Kingdom?
Yes, this is a vital, fundamental, basic topic for Christians to ponder, because the Lord Jesus Christ, in his public ministry for 3.5 years, with the 12 apostles and the 70 that he sent out, 35 kingdom teams, as if I may say it, to Israel to announce to them what? What was the message? Over and over again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, McLean's contribution, which he spent much of his life developing, was special and has had a profound impact on the whole Christian world, one way or another. His impact can be focused in these words. Israel knew exactly what kingdom Jesus was offering to them. For over 1,500 years, back to Moses, of course, and even farther back to Abraham, nearly 2,000 years, they had been taught the new covenant that God was unconditionally giving to Israel, that in spite of individual Jews rebelling against the Lord and suffering the consequences, the nation would never be destroyed. And those who hate Israel, God would judge, Genesis 12:3. And those who would honor and bless Israel, God would bless. Something, by the way, for the United States of America to ponder in our relationship to the state of Israel today, at the beginning of the 21st century A.D. But the Lord Jesus Christ, over and over again, himself, through, of course, previously John the Baptist, then the 12 apostles, then the 70, made it known to Israel that the kingdom was now available, its coming was imminent. It was contingent upon what? Dependent upon what? Their acceptance of it. They had the choice. Do we want to enter the kingdom on God's terms, under God's conditions, or do we want our own program? Do we want to do our own thing, our way? Well, of course, we know what happened. Some believed, but the vast majority of Israelites, of Jews, rejected the offer and said, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Let his blood be upon us and our children forever." To which, of course, sadly, with infinite sadness, the Lord Jesus, who had come in love for Israel, his people, said, "Well, you'll not see me henceforth until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.' Not, 'You'll never see me again,' or 'I've canceled my covenant to you,' or 'I've transferred it to the church.' You see, no, the church has not replaced Israel. The covenant is still what? Absolutely confirmed to Israel, as Romans 11 says, all Israel will be saved. Now, friends, the amazing thing to me is that even after he came back from the dead, having been dead, of course, 3 days following his crucifixion, what did he do in terms of his teaching ministry to the apostles? Acts chapter 1 says, "To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, now listen carefully, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." In other words, what is this kingdom going to be like? Will God restore Israel in spite of their crucifying the Savior, the Messiah? They had wondered, well, maybe the kingdom's been canceled. Maybe, you know, this church that Jesus had predicted in Matthew 16 would be a replacement no. Watch this. They knew exactly what he meant, because over here in verse 6, just about 3 or 4 verses later, it, "And so when they had come together," that is Jesus and the apostles, "they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?'" Now, friends, notice carefully. Jesus said and say, "Of course not. Israel had their opportunity and rejected it, and so the kingdom is being now transferred to the church." No, he said, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority." In other words, you will have your kingdom, but not yet, and you won't know when it is. I won't tell you the exact date. By the way, it's already been nearly 2,000 years, hasn't it, friends? But Jesus is in no rush. To him, 1,000 years is but as a day. He's in no hurry. In the fullness of time, he does his perfect work, and the kingdom will come. In fact, that's what people during the tribulation will be praying, isn't it? According to the Sermon on the Mount, he said, here's how you pray. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth." Now, this is not some heavenly kingdom. Notice it's on earth as it is in heaven. So there will be an earthly kingdom that God the Father will establish with Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this planet. So the disciples were confused about the timing, but they knew exactly what the kingdom would consist of. It would be a Jerusalem-centered, temple-centered, Holy Land-centered program by which the whole world will be instructed in the deep things of God, and there will be a restoration of that nation Israel as the teaching priests of the whole human race for 1,000 years after his second coming. Now, these things, of course, have been widely rejected by God's people. There's vast confusion about this kingdom. And so it is so important to see that this contribution by Dr. Alva J. McLean is definitive for our thinking about how the world will end, not with some global catastrophe that will wipe everything out any moment now. No, God still has 7 years after the church is removed from the world by the rapture to prepare Israel for her unique and very significant function in the millennial kingdom. He's going to prepare the nations for Israel's rule by sending the two witnesses and then 144,000 to win millions of people to the Lord, many of whom will survive even the tribulation to enter the kingdom alive. So you see, it was such a transforming experience for me to be able to have a little part in what Dr. McLean discovered and recorded in this magnificent book.
And what specifically have you seen as far as the impact of this book and how it's gone around not only this country, but how its influence has been felt in the church in these 50 years? Can you comment on that?
I think if you made a survey, even today, all these years since Dr. McLean went to heaven, that the leading theologians in the Western world today who believe in the future of Israel on the earth look back to McLean's book as one of the foundation pieces for their understanding and appreciation of the fact that this kingdom is literal, it's on the earth, it's actually going to happen, it's not some dreamy symbolic thing of something else. It's a literal kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And we often think, therefore, thank you, Lord, for Alva J. McLean and how you used him to help clarify these things to us today.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. And some interesting observations there about basically the content of the book. You've given us kind of an apologetic for its content and some idea of its impact and influence, and we're going to talk a little bit about that more and go deeper on that. And for those who have never read The Greatness of the Kingdom, it's set up according to the basic survey of the scriptures, developing the doctrine of the kingdom, basically from Genesis to Revelation, giving tremendous amounts of information all along the way about many things as it develops this idea of the concept of the kingdom being revealed throughout the scripture. I highly recommend it. I had a seminary course with it, on the book, I should say, with Dr. Roland McCune, who was one of Dr. Whitcomb's students. And so I highly commend that to your thinking. But Dr. Whitcomb, I want to take you back here 52 years to a letter you wrote on November 1st, 1957. You were writing to Dr. McLean, and you said, "I wish to express my deep appreciation for having had the privilege of reading the first three parts of your manuscript on the greatness of the kingdom. It has proven to be tremendously stimulating and instructive, and I trust that the Lord will be pleased to use this volume mightily for His glory in coming years." 52 years ago this fall, you were thinking about your work on this very book, which you would later teach in McLean's place after he was gone from the scene at Grace Seminary. So you had a part in helping him by proofreading at that point, and you were just a young faculty member at that time. And then later, just a few months before he died in 1968, you wrote him a letter when the book was reprinted by Moody Press, and you said, "Congratulations." And you said, "May God be pleased to use your book to Dr. McLean to encourage many to study and believe his word in these days of confusion. And may our wonderful Lord grant you joy and peace in him. Sincerely in Christ, John Whitcomb." I want to take you back there to those times, Dr. Whitcomb, if you could just please kind of immerse our audience a little bit in Dr. McLean, the man, and what you remember about him, his work on this project, his teaching ministry, things like that, and then I'm going to ask you to go back into the book itself a little bit more later, but I wonder for now if you could tell us about Dr. McLean and your interaction and work with him and your memories of him.
Yes, when I enrolled as a student at Grace Theological Seminary in the fall of 1948, I had very little understanding of what God was going to do to my mind and heart through the teaching of Alva J. McLean. He was a master teacher, and he just lived for that opportunity to express the things that God had laid on his heart to his students. Just like Paul said to Timothy, the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, in retrospect, looking back over the years, what a life-transforming experience for 3 years to sit at the feet of this master teacher. He was so gracious, he was so meticulous, he was so careful, and we were all in a state of awe at the masterful presentations of these intricate and precious truths from God's Word about the kingdom and related topics. When I finally graduated from Grace Seminary in May of 1951, the night after I graduated, Dr. McLean and Dr. Hoyt invited me to stay and become a professor, an instructor in Old Testament and Hebrew, because the previous instructor had departed from us. And I just was amazed at this opportunity God gave me to start teaching in the fall of 1951, the Old Testament and theology and Hebrew. And so Dr. McLean all of a sudden became my colleague, and I did everything I could to help him. For instance, just a few months later, in February of 1952, he asked me to grade his papers for him, and his exams, that is, and term papers, because he had to take a sabbatical trip. So on February the 19th, I'm looking at the letter, 1952, he said, "My dear John, we got your letter this morning here at McAllen, Texas. I do appreciate your kindness in handling the papers and exams for me." And so I say, well, thank you, Lord, for my little contribution to his teaching ministry at that time. And of course, he was now devoting massive time and energy to writing his book on the greatness of the kingdom, and he asked me to proofread the first half of his book, which dealt more with the Old Testament. That was my specialty, as I mentioned, teaching the Old Testament. So I wrote him a letter on November the 1st, 1957, and said this: "I wish to express my deep appreciation for having had the privilege of reading the first three parts of your manuscript on the greatness of the kingdom. It has proven to be tremendously stimulating and instructive, and I trust that the Lord will be pleased to use this volume mightily for His glory in coming years." And I suggested some corrections or clarifications in those pages. And so what a thrill to know that how God was going to use that book. And then, of course, later on, in this early part of the 1960s, he had to retire because of health, and I took over his course on the greatness of the kingdom, actually called The Kingdom and the Church, and Biblical Eschatology, which I taught for a number of years for him.
And that brings us right to our next point, Dr. Whitcomb, because we have your copy of The Greatness of the Kingdom. So when I referenced earlier, the one he signed must have been shortly before he died, because the book was released in this current edition that we're looking at here in 1968, the year that he died. It's marked up much like your Bible is, this copy of The Greatness of the Kingdom. It's not quite as much, but it's filled with a whole bunch of notes and marks and I believe this is the copy you have used to teach through the years, and I wonder if you could talk about your experiences in teaching this material and how your discipleship under McLean influenced your own teaching and studying and experiences that you've had in this in teaching this same theology.
Well, we want to think, don't we, friends, that we can perhaps stand on the shoulders of our mentors, our teachers, and reach higher by the mercy of the Lord. Just like I want my disciples, my students, and I had over 2,000 students at Grace Seminary during those 39 years, and now it's been 20 years since then that I have been involved with Whitcomb Ministries Incorporated, and with sermon audio, and with websites and writing books and traveling and lecturing and so forth. But our desire, the desire of our heart, of course, is this. May God enable us to have students, disciples, that can, as it were, stand on our shoulders and reach even higher for the Lord, so that every generation throughout church history should have at least some theologians, some Bible students, who know more about the whole counsel of God than any previous generation of teachers. We don't minimize those earlier men. We're just saying that is what we call progressive illumination, you might say, just as the Bible itself shows a progressive revelation, starting in Genesis, adding more and more and more, so that the Apostle John, at the end of the Bible, who wrote, of course, the book of Revelation under Christ, knew more about the kingdom than anyone before him, including the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and any of the other apostles. You say, what do you mean, sir? Well, he knew that the kingdom would last for 1,000 years. Paul never knew that. Peter never knew that. They were pre-kingdomists, but not pre-millennialists in the technical sense, because millennium means millennium, 1,000 years. So John, the final apostle to survive, as it were, stood on the shoulders of his predecessors under God and reached to the great heights of understanding the kingdom would last 1,000 years, it would end in a global rebellion with Satan's release and the final destruction of the world by fire, and amazing details that we know about today in those 22 chapters of Revelation. We say thank you, God, for that final capstone, the pinnacle of written revelation that stands on the previous 65 books of the Bible. So to see how the kingdom is the final goal on this planet for God to vindicate, to confirm, to endorse the ministry of His beloved Son who offered a kingdom, it's really coming. It'll really be here. It is absolutely incomparably spectacular. It's not the same as heaven, but it's the greatest thing this planet will ever experience. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand some of these marvels and these secrets that you have confirmed for us over and over in the only book you ever wrote, the Bible.
Well, Dr. Whitcomb, as we end this session, I think some of the folks listening are still going to be just being introduced to this subject, and others are going to leave wanting a whole bunch more. And maybe we can talk about this again sometime in the future and tap some different places here in remembering Dr. McLean or thinking about his book. But this has been a really neat introduction, and it's been especially neat for me sitting here and looking at these documents with you and seeing you go through them and remember this man who has had such a tremendous impact in your life and by implication, I guess, in those who followed you and your teaching as well. And I would put myself in that category, having not known Dr. McLean, but certainly having been greatly influenced by his writing and by those whom he taught. And so, friends, thank you for listening to this message here on sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb. A little bit different type of a presentation this time, but we trust it's piqued your interest, and maybe just one of the many different thoughts that we've presented will be of special help to you personally, listener, and we trust you'll share this information also with others and with friends and ask them to join you in listening here. Dr. Whitcomb, it's been a real pleasure to think about these things, and I want to say the greatness of the kingdom is still in print. People can get it. It's being used. It's being used in seminaries. I think the average person, if they made just a serious attempt could quite honestly read the book and understand it and gain from it, even if they're not a theologian or a seminary student or something like that. I wonder if you might just close in prayer for those listening, whether they know of Dr. McLean before this or whether they don't, that they might be challenged in their study of the Word of God through this time that we've had together today. And with that, I'll let you close this recording.
And so, Father, we do thank you for this wonderful insight that you have given to men in days gone by. From the beginning of the church, more and more illumination, enlightenment of what you've written. We're not revising the Bible. We're just discovering what you said in the first place and what you really meant by what you said. Thank you, Father, for that possibility that's before all of us. Every child of God can carefully search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so, and make new, genuine discoveries of what you said, that perhaps things that have eluded the minds of great theologians in ages past. Help us to reach higher for you till Jesus comes, and to be encouraged by knowing that you will fulfill your promises, because what you said to Israel, you will perform. What you said to the church, you will perform. What you said to each and every one of us individually in the church, you will fulfill to the letter. Thank you for your faithfulness, your integrity, and we just thank you, Father, for your love. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you. Amen.